That was Inferno from Five Hour Time Three's Stained. The fourth band of the hour is Dave Goldberg's The Other Side with Surreality.
Thank you. SFU. Getting money back for all your empty or refundable bottles and cans just got a lot easier. Just sign up for Returned Express for free. You can bag your containers, tag the bag, and drop it through the window at the new Express and Go container in the East parking lot. Return It will count your containers and credit your refunds to your online account. Learn more at returnit.ca/SFU.
Soca's first and second year social is happening soon. Join SFU Soca, the Students of Caribbean and African Ancestry, in the Student Union Building, room 1430, on Friday, October 4th, from 5 p.m. onwards. This event is for the first and second years to meet and connect with new friends. All are welcome. See you there.
Now I'd like to feature the SFU Red Leafs hockey at this time. Both the BCIHO and non-conference Red Leafs were in action on September 28th. While no score sheet was available for the BCIHO Red Leafs game against the Logan Lake Miners at Burnaby's Bill Copeland, the hosts provided scoring updates at the end of each period, and yours truly took pictures of scoring changes. The Miners finished period 1 up 2-1 with SFU's captain Nick Wagner scoring for the hosts. There were more goals in period 2 as SFU ended up leading Logan Lake 4-3 with goals from Jaden Falchuk, Hayden Yan, and Jason Jarman. However, SFU broke the game open in period 3 with 4 goals for an 8-4 win over Logan Lake at Burnaby's Bill Copeland.
Hi, it's Steve Chong. Tonight is September 28th, 2024. I am next to the SFU Red Leafs dressing room and I'm interviewing the head coach for the SFU BCIHO team, who dominated the visiting Logan Lake Miners 8-4, from what I understand. Which is quite a turnaround for the SFU BCIHO Red Leafs, especially from their first game where they fell 4-3 to Okanagan Lakers a couple weeks ago, and a playoff loss to the Logan Miners earlier this spring. First of all, how did the SFU BCIHO Red Leafs prepare for this exhibition home opener?
Obviously getting a couple weeks of practice makes a big difference when it comes to we had about a week of practice. Guys just kind of came into camp to get going. And we kind of dial in some of that stuff for the last couple weeks. And guys kind of find their way with their team and their teammates and starting to create a little bit of chemistry now. It was better than Okanagan, obviously. The team really gelled better together. Obviously,
just wondering, where does the BCIHL Red Leafs generally practice? Because unlike the non-conference Red Leafs, I don't see any of your practices on social media.
All our practices are obviously here in Burnaby. With renovations and things like that, Burnaby Lake, it's been tough to kind of get ice here in Copeland, but we do practice at Copeland Arena. Also, we practice here in grounds in Kensington Arena as well. So it's kind of a mix here and there. Yeah, it's kind of been a little tough this year with renovations going on.
How big was the BCIHL Red Leafs power play, which scored, I believe, 3 goals on man advantage tonight?
Yeah, I mean, that's something we've worked on last season as well. It's the same power play core as last year. We're just kind of trying to refine that a little bit, get some practice in. We tried some new guys out, and they were able to get comfortable in as well. Younger guys give them a shot, especially an exhibition, and see what they're capable of. So maybe we can use them throughout the season. We'll see.
What do you make of the performance from Jaden Fawchuk and Captain Nick Wagner?
Obviously, they perform really well. It's just making sure we're doing small things right. That's the important thing. Just getting the puck to the net, their work ethic obviously shows on the scoreboard what they're capable of. And they're just, they're hardworking guys. They're willing to take a hit or give it to them and make it right. And that's why they're amongst the top guys on the team and why they show up game in, game out. It's that work ethic, and that's hopefully what we're trying to do some younger guys and help them.
Finally, what does the BCIHL Red Leafs have to do to face the very same Logan Lake Miners tomorrow afternoon at Logan Lake, which starts at 12:30?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough turnaround. It's a really short turnaround, but it's the same for both teams. There's no advantage or disadvantage. It's just, like I said, just sticking to the little things, creating good habits, minimizing turnovers, things like that, and just getting the puck to the net. I think that's kind of where we're going to focus on and kind of go from there.
Thank you for the interview tonight. And congratulations on the SFU BCIHL Red Leafs 8-4 thrashing of the Logan Lake Miners.
Awesome, thank you very much.
Sorry for the background Zamboni noise in the first interview.
Hi, it's Steve Chong once again. I'm still in front of the SFU Red Leafs hockey team's dressing room, and I'm interviewing the first star in tonight's SFU BCIHL Red Leafs 8-4 win over the Logan Lake Miners. First of all, what was said in the dressing room before tonight's preseason home opener?
Basically, work hard, get puck skates, a lot of shots, get a lot of hits, and even blocking the shots. It's our first game at home, so it means a lot to win.
Where do you think the game turned in your favor?
I think the second period, first shift, we scored, that really turned it around for the boys and me, myself. So that's just the game.
Tell me about your 3 goals, some of which came on the power play, from what I understand.
Yeah, just take a shot and getting the opportunity to get the power play and capitalizing on it really helps. Creating space is what I like to do, and shooting the puck into the net is just what you have to do on the power play.
What did the BCIHL Red Leafs improve from the first game of the exhibition, which was a 4-3 loss against the Okanagan Lakers a couple weeks ago?
Maybe the buck around and just our work ethic. We've been working hard the past week, doing a lot of team stuff in the D zone, moving the buck around, making good passes.
Now, like, to delve into your hockey journey, when did you start the game?
I started when I was about 3 years old, getting around the team.
When was the first time you made a rep or a travel team?
I was six or 5 years old.
Tell me about the last team you played for before you came to the SFU BCIHL Red Leafs.
I played for Cranbrook Bucks BCIHL. It was a new team, and I was fortunate enough to be on that team. I'm super grateful for that. I've been there, played there for 3 years in BCIHL, and then came to SFU to further my hockey game and get an education. And I've been liking it so far. I've been a lot of fun. It was not a big jump for me, but a lot of these guys in the BCIHL are a lot bigger and just cheaper, so I got to play through that and break ice.
So the players, I misunderstood. So where are the players bigger between BCHO and BCIHO?
A lot older, stronger, and a lot more experience.
Two more questions. What does the SFU BCIHO Red Leafs have to do against the Logan Lake Miners tomorrow afternoon at 12:30 in Logan Lake?
Yeah, just shoot the pucks. I think we expose them away a little bit. Appreciate more and pass it around. They'll go in. What we did today was really good. We passed it around. A lot of shots, good passes. We're in the zone a lot and we capitalized on the power play.
Finally, what would you like to accomplish with the SFU BCIHL Red Leafs this season?
I want to win a championship. Yeah, that's my goal.
Thank you for the interview. Congratulations on your first star of the game and SFU BCIHL Red Leafs 8-4 win over the Logan Lake Miners.
Yeah, thank you.
Meanwhile, the SFU Red Leafs non-conference hockey team were in UBC against the Thunderbirds at Father David Bauer Arena in Doug Mitchell Thunderbird Sports Center. UBC opened the scoring 9-0-1 into the game as Sasha Mutala eluded Jesse Mackay. However, SFU struck back less than 4 minutes later as Kyle Young scored on Ben Merwald at 12:49. The Red Leafs got a power play when Scott Atkinson was penalized for roughing at 13:55. However, the Thunderbirds went up 2-1 16 seconds later as Carson Latimer eluded Jesse Mackay at 14:11. The Red Leafs went down by 2 near the end of period 1 as Liam Kindry scored on Mackay with 1:11 left as UBC outshot SFU 14-3 in the first. But the Red Leafs made a 3-2 8:39 into the second as Ben Ward eluded Ben Merwald. However, UBC went up 4-2 2:06 later as Scott Atkinson eluded Jesse Mackay. Late in period 2, Red Leaf Michael Gravas was caught spearing a Thunderbird as he received 4 minutes on top of a 10-minute misconduct with 4:29 left, and UBC made SFU pay with 2 goals on the power play, first by Chris Douglas at 2:29, followed by Jack Wismer just 8 seconds later as the Thunderbirds ended period 2, leading the Red Leafs 6-2 as UBC outshot SFU 16-4 in the middle stanza. The Thunderbirds went up 7-2, 2:36 into period 3 as Sam Houle scored on Jesse Mackay, and Houle scored his second of the night late in period 3 at 14:52, both assisted by Sasha Mutala on Red Leaf Jesse Mackay, who surrendered 8 goals on 45 shots, as the UBC Thunderbirds destroyed the SFU Red Leafs non-conference team 8-2, where Brett Merwald stopped 13 of 15 shots at Father David Bauer Arena in UBC's Doug Mitchell Thunderbird Sports Center. One day later, the SFU-BCIHL Red Leafs returned to action as they played the back end of the weekend home-and-home series against the Logan Lake Miners, this time at Nicola Valley Arena in Merritt, where the Red Leafs won 5-3 and swept the Miners in the weekend home-and-home set. On October 3rd, the SFU Red Leafs non-conference team introduced its new captain, Jimmy Darby, followed by boarding on a coach bus for their Eastern U.S. road trip this weekend, according to their Instagram page. Tonight is the home opener of the SFU-BCIHL Red Leafs as they host the Okanagan Lakers. The puck drop at Burnaby's Bill Copeland is at 7 p.m. Now I'd like to talk about the Surrey Police transition at this time. It had been the most polarizing topic in Surrey for the last 6 years. The then Mayor Doug McCallum pursued the Surrey Police Service, which was approved by the BC government in 2020. Fast forward to 2022, Brenda Locke, who campaigned to stop the Surrey Police Service, became the mayor by beating McCallum with less than 1,000 votes on October 15, 2022. But Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, ordered Surrey City to continue with the Surrey Police Service on July 19, 2023. However, Locke's fight did not end right away, as her two petitions against the BC NDP government for a judicial review on being forced to continue with the SPS was rejected on May 23, 2024, followed by her acceptance of the court's decision on June 10th. And culminated by an agreement between the BC NDP government and Surrey City on July 10th, according to a BC government news release. Surrey will receive $30 million a year to 2029, when a financial guarantee of up to $20 million, if the SPS salaries are higher than the RCMP, may kick in and continue until 2034, for a total of up to $250 million. Surrey will fully support the transition to the SPS and not impose a police tax in the next decade. In addition, according to the BC government news release, the SPB budget, originally requested at $141.5 million, fits within Surrey's financial budget and will hire 526 officers by the end of 2024, 67% of all Surrey police officers. Most, if not all, of this week's developments were from the SPS Twitter page. On September 29th, the SPS officers attended two events for the Police and Peace Officers National Memorial Day, one in Ottawa and the other in Victoria. One day later, SPS officers, civilian staff, and their families joined in the Semiyamu First Nations Walk for Truth and Reconciliation in recognition of the National Truth and Reconciliation Day. On October 1st, the SPS released their latest newsletter, which revealed 409 officers have been hired to date, greater than 50% of all Surrey police officers. Two events occurred on October 2nd, as the SPS recognized their chief, Norm Lipinski, starting his policing career 46 years ago with the Edmonton Police. Also, several SPS officers, including the chief Lipinski, visited the Surrey Board of Trade, where they shared about a strong community policing model and discussed collaborative community initiatives for Surrey's business community. Also, three SPS officers met Surrey Crime Prevention Society at its Lunch and Learn, where volunteers asked about policing and application process, according to the SCPS Twitter page today. Thank you for listening to episode 38 of the Steve Chong Show in 2024, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 4, it is Voice of the North.
You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, British Columbia. We strive to provide perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media. If you'd like to know more about us, check out our website at cjsf.ca.